Blog Talk Radio.
Everybody, bless the Lord, oh my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. For this is the day that the Lord has made. Let us all rejoice and be glad in it. And welcome to Pray One for Another. I'm your host, Evangelist Hilda, sitting in for my pastor, Prophet R.D. Wiggins, who is the pastor of House of Manessa Christian Ministries, and we are a church beyond walls. I'd like to first of all take this time to thank you for tuning in, and this is Pray One for Another, Sweet Hour of Prayer, where we pray every Tuesday through Friday from 6 p.m. to 7 p.m., and at 7 p.m. this evening, our very own psalmist, Barbara A. Amore will be here with our lesson this evening in Basic Theology by Charles C. Ryrie. So if you would like to join us, please feel free to dial in 319-527-6204. To God be the glory. Our motto comes from James chapter 5, verse 16, where it says, confess your trespasses to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The effective, permanent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. And then you can call in your prayer request at 319-527-6204. Praise be to God. Let us pray. Father God, I just want to thank you for this ministry and vision. And I pray your Holy Spirit manifest the breakthrough of deliverance, healing, and salvation through all nine of his gifts, and that this prayer ministry grows in partnership, fellowship, and membership. In the mighty name of your Son, Jesus, we do pray. Amen, amen, and amen. At this time, I'd like to invite the Holy Spirit into the sanctuary, because we never like to start our broadcast or our service without inviting the Holy Spirit to come into the midst of it all. Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. By Francesca. Praise be to God.
There's nothing worth more that could ever come close. No thing can compare. You're our living hope. Your presence, Lord. I've tasted and seen of the sweetest of love, where my heart becomes free. My shame is undone. Your presence, Lord. Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. Come flood this place and fill the atmosphere. Your glory, God.
you know you're going high in Jesus. I know I am. Come on, listen. Set up.
Exceeding joy. Yours is the greatness, power, glory, victory, and majesty. All that is in heaven and on earth belongs to you. Because of this and more, you are my exceeding joy. You are my delight, and I come before you in prayer to exalt your name forever. I praise your glorious name, for in your hand are both power and might. And it is by your word that you make great or bring down. There is none higher than you and none more worthy of all my praise. Amen. Amen and amen. You are listening to Pray One for Another, Sweet Hour of Prayer, where we pray every Tuesday through Fridays from 6 p.m. to 7 p.m. And at 7 p.m. this evening, our very own Barbara A. Amore will be here with our lesson this evening in Basic Theology by Charles C. Ryrie. If you would like to join us, please feel free to dial in 319-527-6204. You can also call in your prayer requests as we are here taking prayer requests at this time. Praise God. In the meantime, I will play another selection.
I am the one who spoke into nothing and all creation heard. I am he who has all power in my hand. And if you believe on my word, you can stand. I am the one whose name is a tower where you can run and hide. I am he who has all power in my hand. And if you believe on my word, you can stand.
consider when God speaks to Sarah at 90 years old and tells her she's about to give birth to a baby. She laughs. But God responds and says, is anything too hard for me? And some of y'all have situations that look like they can't be fixed. But you have to understand that when I am is in the picture, anything is possible. I need you to look at somebody and say, anything is possible. So God says, no matter what it looks like, God says, you're overwhelmed, but body's rocking with pain, but I am. Look at somebody say, God says. And say, God says,
I am.
Look at somebody else and say, God says,
I am.
Somebody needs to know that God says,
I am.
One more time, y'all. Tell them who he is. He says,
I am.
I know the numbers are bigger than you, but
I am.
One more time, say, God says,
I am.
Just lean on him because
I am.
You can live here.
I am.
God, my exceeding joy. All things come from you and are created by you. Even my joy and my delight are from your blessed hand. Forgive me for seeking joy in other sources than you. Pardon me for turning to things outside of you to seek what can be found only in you. You are the source of my joy. Amen, amen, and amen.
Father, we ask you now, as we lift your name, that you'll dwell among us and be our God. We are your people. Let's bring your life together. No matter what.
No matter what.
Come on, the problem.
The problem may be.
He's in control.
He's in control and he knows
yep,
everything.
I have the victory for
him. I have the victory for he is my king.
In him I live, I move.
In him I live, move and have my being.
Say it again. No matter what.
No matter what. The problem may be.
He's in control.
He's in control and he knows everything.
How many know that you got the victory?
I have the victory. For he is my king.
In him I live, I move,
in
and
him I live, I move, and have my king.
Say like the best of people.
Best of
come on, lift them up with him.
Triumph
in you.
Triumph.
control.
He's in control and he knows everything.
I'm the victory for
me. I have the victory, for he is my king.
In him I live.
In him I live, move and have my being.
Say that again. No matter what.
No matter what the problem may be.
Come on, clap your hands like this and sing it with us.
He's in control and he knows everything.
If you believe that, sing this with us. Let the people come on, lift him
up, rejoice,
and shout unto him. The one you call him.
God, it is now time for our devotional message, amen, which is entitled, Leave Him Room. And the scripture reading for this message is coming from Romans chapter 12, verse 19, and it says, never take your own revenge, beloved, but leave room for the wrath of God. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading of his word. Amen. The writer says, at times when someone wrongs you or a loved one, you may feel tempted to become an armor bearer, a bitter arbiter of justice and take matters into your own hands. However, remember that your charge is always to be a representative of Christ. As believers, our duty isn't to get revenge or prove a point. Our responsibility is to represent Jesus so that others will be saved. We can do so because God is already a good and faithful judge, and we don't have to do his job. In fact, today's verse is a quote from Deuteronomy 32:35, a warning to Israel about seeking forms of security other than God. In that passage, Moses prophesied that Israel was going to chase after other deities for prosperity, guidance, and security. So God warned them, saying, I am your protector. If you run to one of these false gods, then my vengeance will turn from your enemies to you. The same is true for us. When we turn to our forms of vengeance against another person, whether with gossip, politics, or manipulation, we're getting in God's way. This is why Paul admonishes us to leave room for his justice. Remember that. Forgive and give the Lord space to work. Amen. I hope and pray that this devotional message is a blessing to you as it is always to me. Let us pray. Jesus, I trust your judgment. Help me forgive. Amen, amen, and amen. And that is our devotional message for this evening. To God be the glory. At this time, I will play another selection. Thank you.
your suffering done for me way back on Calvary. But I just want to thank you. I gotta thank you. Yes, I do. I just want to thank you, Lord. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you, Lord. Wonderful.
God, my exceeding joy. Thank you for your beauty and the delight you took in making your creation. You have placed me in the midst of a wondrous and amazing world. You astound me with your creation and with your imagination. The depths of your knowledge is limitless, and because of it, I find joy in learning and discovering new things. Thank you for the pleasures I'm blessed to experience as a result of knowing and loving you. Amen, amen, and amen. Praise be to God. And now it is time for our daily bread, which is entitled Trusting God's Foresight. And the scripture reading for this message is coming from the book of Matthew, chapter 2, verse 1 through 2. And then we're going to drop down to verses 7 through 12. That's Matthew chapter 2, verses 1 and 2, and then down to 7 through 12. And it says, and I'm reading in the New Living Translation, Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea during the reign of King Herod. About that time, some wise men from eastern lands arrived in Jerusalem asking, "Where is the newborn king of the Jews? We saw his star as it rose and we have come to worship him. Amen. Now let's go to verses 7 through 12. And it says, then Herod called for a private meeting with the wise men, and he learned from them the time when the star first appeared. Then he told them, go to Bethlehem and search carefully for the child. And when you find him, come back and tell me so that I can go and worship him too. After this interview, the wise men went their way, and the star they had seen in the east guided them to Bethlehem. It went ahead of them and stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they were filled with joy. They entered the house and saw the child with his mother, Mary, and they bowed down and worshiped him. Then they opened their treasure chest and gave him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. When it was time to leave, they returned to their own country by another route, for God had warned them in a dream not to return to Herod. Amen. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading of his mighty word. Praise be to God. My text for this message is coming from Matthew chapter 2, verse 12. And it says, they returned to their country by another route. The writer says, while driving us to an unfamiliar location, my husband noticed that the GPS directions suddenly seemed wrong. After entering a reliable four-lane highway, we were advised to exit and travel along a one-lane frontage road running parallel to us. I'll just trust it, Dan said, despite seeing no delays. After about 10 miles, however, the traffic on the highway next to us slowed to a near standstill. The trouble, major construction, and the frontage road with little traffic, it provided a clear path to our destination. I could not see ahead, Dan said. But the GPS could, or as we agree, just like God can. Knowing what was ahead, God in a dream gave a similar change in direction to the wise men who had come from the east to worship Jesus, born king of the Jews in Matthew 2 and 2. King Herod, disturbed by the news of a rival king, lied to the Magi, sending them to Bethlehem, saying, go and search carefully for the child. As soon as you find him, report to me so that I too may go and worship him. In verse 8, warned in a dream not to go back to Herod, however, they returned to their country by another route. In verse 12, God will guide our steps too. As we travel life's highway, we can trust that he sees ahead and remain confident that he will make our path straight. As we submit to his directions, Proverbs 3 and 6. Praise be to God. I hope and pray that this message was a blessing to you, as it is always to me. Question. Recall a time when God presented you with a change in your life's direction. As you trusted him, what was the outcome? Think about those two questions. Amen? Let us pray. I can't see the road ahead. God, as you can, please give me discernment to know when a change in direction is coming from you. Amen, amen, and amen. To God be the glory. And that is our daily bread for this evening. And now at this time, I will play another selection. And again, at 7 p.m., our very own Barbara A. Amore will be here with our lesson this evening in Basic Theology by Charles C. Ryrie. To God be the glory. God, my exceeding joy, thank you for your beauty and the delight you took in making your creation. You have placed me in the midst of a wondrous and amazing world. You astound me with your creatures and with your imagination. The depth of your knowledge is limitless, and because of it, I find joy in learning and discovering new things. Thank you for the pleasure I'm blessed to experience as a result of knowing and loving you. Amen, amen, and amen.
Cometh from the Lord, Lord, which made heaven and earth. He said he would not suffer thy foot to be moved, or that he would see. He will not. The Lord is thy keeper, the Lord is thy shade upon thy right hand, upon thy right hand. And know the sun shall not smite thee by day, nor the moon by night. He shall preserve thy soul even forevermore, evermore. My gentlemen, my sister, see.
Oh, the sun shall not smite thee by day.
this is what I told him. This is what I'm going to do.
From the Lord. And now at this time our very own Barbara A. Amore is going to come with our lesson this evening in Basic Theology by Charles C. Ryrie, and we're going to welcome her with a hand clap praise. Amen. God bless you, Barbara. How are you this evening?
Good evening. I'm blessed and highly favored. How are you?
I'm blessed. Thank you.
Good. I'm trying to get over this cold, but I'm still blessed.
Amen. I hear you sound a little congested.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, anyway. I'm so sorry.
Yeah, me too, but thank you. Thank you for that. You're going to proceed.
Praise God.
Precious and Heavenly Father, once more and again, here's your humble servants assembled to give you praise, glory, and honor. Father God, we thank you for waking us up this morning, starting us on our way, giving us strength for the struggle, allowing us to see a new day that we've never seen before. Thank you for this beautiful Tuesday, this fall afternoon, this fall evening, this fall night. Thank you for the sunshine, the rain, the crispness of the air, the autumn air. We just thank you, God. We thank you for friends and family and for enemies, too. Well, God, I thank you for everything that you're doing in my life. I thank you for what you've done, what you're doing, and what you're going to do. So, God, if I had 10,000 tongues, I couldn't thank you enough. Bless all those who are on the line tonight. Bless those who just thought about us tonight. Special blessing going out to Lady Nadine Wiggins as she's recuperating from surgery, hopefully recovering from surgery that she had yesterday. And we just thank you for everything, Lord God. Blessings and your unconditional love, your adoration, your compassion, your generosity, your kindness, your favor, your healing. Thank you, God, for all of those things. And again, if I had 10,000 tongues, I couldn't thank you enough. Forgive us of our sins, those of omission and commission, and we will forever be grateful to have you as a Father in our lives. All these blessings I ask in the matchless name of our Savior, your Son. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Beautiful prayer. Praise be to God.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Yes.
All right, we're going to pick up where we left off from, which was chapter 36. No, the next one, 37.
36.
We're still in 36?
Yes. We just started it.
Okay.
Yeah, we're at number 5.
This is a very short chapter. Okay, number 5. The transmission of inherited sins. Is our brother Garnier with us tonight?
Oh, yes, he is. Praise be to God.
Well, how are you?
I'm due for an emergency vacation.
I understand that.
I can amen that too. Yeah.
Amen. It doesn't have to be emergency. Just put in your request and go on about your business.
That's easy said and done.
Hallelujah.
Well. It might be an emergency just because, you know, when your life is intertwined with family and other folks, I can't just run off unless I declare an emergency.
It would be nice.
You don't have to stay long.
It would be nice.
You don't have to stay long. Just go. You know? But anyway.
Yeah. Anyway.
I pray that you will get some rest.
Much needed rest.
And rejuvenation and revitalization in your mind,
thank
your
you.
Heart, your soul, your body, and
amen.
Your spirit. Amen.
Yes.
Amen.
Yes. Amen.
All right, so we're going to go on with part 5 of chapter 36, talking about the inheritance of sin. The transmission of inherited sins. What does that mean? The transmission of inherited sins?
Sin passed down from one generation to the next?
Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. The label itself indicates how original sin is transmitted. Can you hear me all okay?
Yes.
Yes.
And the phone is nice tonight.
Yes.
So, my phone. Thank God.
Well, the problem was we could hear you, but you couldn't hear us. That was the problem.
Right. You kept going in and out. So,
yeah.
Don't you
turn mute you for 1 second because my nose is running. I'm tired.
Okay.
He went on a nice retreat and come back with a cold.
Don't rub it in.
I won't.
Well, actually, I had contracted something before I went, and I got over that. And then I went to church on Sunday and got cold in the church.
No.
I haven't turned on the seat yet. So as I'm sitting up there, you know, chilly, I threw a scarf around my shoulders, which wasn't enough. So I had a light leather jacket, which, again, was not enough. And when I got up to do what I had to do, I made a comment to the pastor that it's cold in here. And he was like, I'm cold. And so he asked the custodian if they turned on the heat yet. And I think he said the boiler was on. But then the pastor had the audacity to say something about the old ladies being cold. I'm like, you know.
Yeah, just once you become an old man, then you know how it feels, right?
So anyway, I didn't retort. I was nice. But I had to say it to a lady at the end of the service. She said, I was called too. So I'm like, I'm the only one who admitted it, though. But anyways, so I'm simply saying, I don't even get sick. I mean, I just sleep. I was someplace Saturday, and they had no heat. I had to ask, would you turn on the heat? And I was sniffling. It's been a week of stuff like that, drafts. And but I'm better now. So anyway, thank you for your indulgence. So here we go again. All right, the transmission of inherited sin. It's time for my flu shot, but I can't take one until I get over this. The language itself indicates how original sin is transmitted from one generation to the next, and the next, and the next. We inherit it from our parents as they did from theirs, and so on back to the first parents, Adam and Eve. After they sinned, they could only propagate after their kind. That is, their children were sinners by birth. Genesis 4:1, Psalms 51:5, and Romans 5:12. This means that everyone born into this world is a sinner. No one is born good, nor is anyone born partly good and partly sinful. All are equally sinful in God's sight. Mm-hmm. If this were not so, then those who were, say, only 50% sinful would need only 50% of God's salvation. Any thoughts about that?
We are fully sinful because there's no partial sin, as he's saying, and there's no, you know, we're just fully sinned. No half sin, no part sin. We are fully sinned because we are born in sin.
Mm-hmm. So, any comments on that, sir?
Well, yeah, in modern terms, I remind myself as I walk down the street that, in scientific terms, you have no control over your genes, your genotype.
Right.
That's, mm-hmm. you know, that's the hand you're dealt.
Mm-hmm.
And so there has to be an acceptance of that fact. But the Creator who is able to do stuff like that, obviously created Jesus with perfect genetics. Like everything, all people think genetics is just like how you appear, but genetics also affects how you think.
Mm-hmm.
And how you act.
Okay.
Right, so
mm-hmm.
that's how I view it. As you know, I remind myself, hey, I'm a human. My genes are not perfect, so all I can do is just play the hand I'm dealt and appreciate the hands that other people are dealt. Say,
mm-hmm.
wow, you know, so and so needs this and that. Maybe I can help them.
Okay, so. But. Is that an excuse when we say, we're only human, you know, that's what we do as humans. We just flesh and blood.
You mean an excuse for being a sinner? I don't think you need an excuse for being a sinner. You know, Jesus was the only person... is the only person who can offer the remission of sin. But,
mm-hmm.
yeah, I mean, yeah, do you mean excuse or like a justification? Or,
excuse.
I mean,
people do things and they come out with, well, I'm only human. Like, what did you expect me to do?
Well,
and, you know,
I mean, that's I'm not quite sure entirely what to make of that, because if the person is making an excuse, the implication is that they know they did wrong, they just don't want to fix it. Right?
Of course
is that what
know
you're
they
trying to bring?
That's why they're saying, I'm only human. What did you expect?
Right.
So
well, you can say, all right, well, you know, you're human and you did wrong, either to me or somebody else. I noticed you did wrong to that person. So, yeah, you're human. So do something about it.
That's what I'm saying. The fact of the matter is we can do better.
Mm-hmm.
All right? We can do better.
Yeah. Yeah.
We are only human. God knows that. And then people will say, too, they did something wrong. But God knows my heart. Yeah, but your body did something else, you know?
Yep.
So act like your heart instead of acting like your flesh.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to go on. Genesis 4:1, Evangelist. Psalm 51:5, Brother Gagne. And Romans 5:12.
What was mine? Psalm what?
51:5. Genesis 4:1
says, now Adam had sexual relationship with his wife, Eve, and she became pregnant. When she gave birth to Cain, she said, with the Lord's help, I have produced a man.
I guess that's self-explanatory, really, unless someone wants to comment on it.
No comment.
No.
Psalm 51:5.
For I was born a sinner, yes, from the moment my mother conceived me.
Mm-hmm.
How is that? How is that possible?
Well, it's possible because you can't choose your parents. Your parents created your sinful nature, and you just got to deal with it.
Why are babies sinners is my question. Why are babies sinners?
Oh, because they just don't know it yet. Just wait till they get terrible twos. Then they learn that they can, you know... misbehave and stuff.
Right. But when they're born, they are sinners.
Yeah.
Why is that? Why is that? Evangelist, anything? Yes, sir.
Please, Evangelist, say something, please.
We were born sinners. So from the time...
Why is that? That's the question. Why is that? Why are we born sinners?
Because of Adam and Eve, when they disobeyed God and ate up from the tree of good and evil.
Okay, I think 51:5 goes into it a little bit more.
For I was born a sinner, yes, from the moment my mother conceived me. So
there you go.
The mother was the sinner. So the child became, well, from the time she conceived the child became a sinner.
Well, what happens when the mother is married? Isn't that taking away from conceiving in sin?
No.
No, she conceived the child in sin.
Right. So I'm saying she's married. We know all mothers are not married.
So?
All dads are not married.
Yeah.
So,
I know plenty of married women who are sinful. So what's your point?
The point is, why is the baby born in sin? That's the whole question.
Oh.
Why is the baby born in sin? Okay. So let's
because the genetics, that's the way it is. Mommy is a sin, daddy is a sin. Sin plus sin equals sin, boom, done.
Romans 5:12.
What did they say?
shaped in sin and born in iniquity. So there's no way around it.
That's
you
right.
know, if you were born, you were shaped in sin and born in iniquity. Innocent
right.
as you may be, I think you are.
But you're not.
But you're not.
Exactly.
Amen. Let's look at Romans 5 and 12.
Okay.
Romans 5 and 12.
When Adam sinned, sin entered the world. Adam's sin brought death, so death spread to everyone, for everyone sinned. So because he sinned, and then that it brought death, so that made all of us sinful. So we all
of us what?
We all sinned.
Mm-hmm.
When Adam sinned, he brought death to the human race.
Right. Right. Okay.
That made us become sin.
Made us sinful. Our nature is sinful.
Yes.
You know, we have a sinful nature. This means that everyone born into this world is a sinner. No, well, I read that. But no one is born good, nor is anyone born partly good and partly sinful. All are equally
right.
sinful in God's sight. If this were not so, then those who were, say, only 50% sinful would need only 50% of God's salvation. And that's like half of salvation. What is that? You know? It's
mm-hmm.
either you're saved or you're not. So we wouldn't
right.
need half of salvation.
Right.
That's it.
It's not like being partially retired.
Oh, well, right, right. And so what
yeah.
is it to be partially retired? What does that mean?
Straddling the fence. You're officially retired, but you're still kind of working, blah, 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 blah.
Okay. Sometimes you work and sometimes you don't. Or you
yeah.
work part-time, whatever. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Let's see. I dropped my book in my purse.
I'll be right back. Hold on.
Okay. So the next one is part six. I'm going to wait for him to come back.
Okay. Mhm.
Mhm.
Did you hear from Nadine?
I texted her this morning, and I got a text back saying that she was unavailable, or the service is unavailable, or something like that. Did you hear from her?
I texted her, too, and I didn't get an answer back. So maybe if...
nothing?
No, nothing. No response. I mean, the text
mm-hmm.
went through. It was delivered, but
right.
I don't know if she got it or not.
She probably got it, but I'm thinking she's not receiving any calls right now or any texts.
Yeah, probably because, you know, in the hospitals, it's hard to get service.
Well, not even that. She's recovering from surgery, so she's probably trying to recuperate as opposed to answering, you know, texts and phone calls and stuff.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah,
but like you said, it was delivered, and she
right.
did respond, but... It wasn't the kind of response when people I know have had their service terminated or whatever. It
uh-huh.
seemed like
no.
it was done by her as opposed to the system saying, you know, it can't be done. So
right, right.
It's fine. It's fine. And I have to respect that, you know.
Yeah, I mean, I did too. So And you know, pastor don't answer texts and phone calls, so I ain't even waste my time trying to contact him
mm-hmm.
to find
yeah,
out how she's doing, you know.
Right. Right.
So I'll just wait a couple of days and see what mm-hmm. happens.
Did she say how long she anticipates being in the hospital? You're back, sir?
Yes, been back for
okay.
a couple of minutes. Y'all
okay.
were talking, so I didn't want to interrupt.
We heard you, but
oh.
she, I'm going to ask you this last question. Does she know how long she might be in the hospital?
No, because at first she said it was, you know, go in the morning, have the surgery, and then they let you go home in the evening.
Ambulatory. Okay, so it's apparently not. All right, we'll find out later. Let's go on with the lesson.
Okay.
Number six, the remedy for inherited sin. What does that mean?
The remedy for inherited sin.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, a remedy is like a solution to a problem. It's a remedy. The cure can be a remedy.
True.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So
a remedy to inherited sin implies there is a way to treat it.
Okay. Evangelist, you want to say something?
No.
Okay. The remedy is twofold. Number one, redemption includes a judgment on the sin nature so that the believer is no longer bound to serve sin. Romans 6:18-8:1 and Galatians 5:24. All that which belongs to the old life has been crucified with Christ. So redemption includes judgment on the sin nature so that the believer is no longer bound to serve sin. And then all that which belongs to the old life has been crucified with Christ.
Mm-hmm.
Death always means separation. Therefore, his death separated us from the dominion of original sin. Number two, however, the old is not eradicated until the resurrection. Therefore, God has given us his Holy Spirit to give us victory over sin in daily life. Separated from the dominion of sin by Christ's death, and we are free from its domination by the power of the Spirit. Any thoughts about that?
Amen. Thank you, God. Oh, my God. Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
So basically, we have victory through Jesus.
Yes.
Yep.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
Let's look at Romans 6:18, Evangelist, and 8:1, Evangelist, and Galatians 5:24, Brother Jacob. Romans 6:18
says, now you are free from your slavery to sin, and you have become slaves to the righteous living. Okay, so now we are free from our slavery. Now you are free from your slavery to sin. So we went from slavery to sin to slavery to God's righteousness, to Jesus' righteousness.
Amen. And I like to read the message
where
it says, but offer yourselves to the ways of God and the freedom never quit. Think about that. Offer yourselves to the ways of God and the freedom never quit. All your lives you've let sin tell you what to do. But thank God you started listening to a new master, not sin, but to God, one whose commands set you free to live openly in his freedom. Amen. So how are we free? Some say we're not free. Some say we are free. How are we free?
We're free through Jesus Christ. That's why God knew that we could not, you know, keep the law or not sin. So he sent Jesus down to die on the cross to give us a choice, whether we choose good or we choose evil. So when you choose good, that means you're following God's way. But if you choose evil, you're still doing sinful things, you know, against God.
Okay.
My thoughts are Yeah, so slavery is all or nothing. Either you're a slave or you're free. Either you're a slave or you're bond. Either you're bond or you're free.
Okay.
So to be a slave to sin and then give your heart and soul to Jesus the Christ and you become a slave to Christ, that's 100%.
Yeah. Okay. So when we are free, does that mean prisoners incarcerated can be free?
Mm-hmm.
Correct?
Yes, if they give their life to Jesus Christ.
Right. So the question is, so how are they free? The
They are free from sin in God's eyes through the salvation of Jesus Christ's sacrifice.
And they're free in their minds.
Yes.
In the point that they don't have to sin. They know
right.
What the Lord requires of them, and they don't have to do what he looks down upon, what he doesn't want us to do. We don't have to
right.
do that.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
So
yeah.
You're free to choose the right thing over the wrong thing. Even
yes.
though you may
yeah.
be locked up behind bars, you may be, you know, in an abusive relationship, whatever, something that
yeah.
the eyes of the world looking upon you would say, oh, my, they're bound, but they're free.
Right.
Yeah.
Because they're
yeah.
not letting those things hold them back, hold them down. Their bodies
yeah.
may be, but in their minds, we're free,
yeah.
in our minds, we're free. All right, so
yeah.
8 and 1?
8:1 says, so now there is no condemnation for those who belong to Christ Jesus. Amen. So once you give your life to Christ, there's no condemnation. So
Romans 8:1?
Yeah, 8:1. Romans 8:1.
Okay. Mine says, excuse me, thank you. With the arrival of Jesus, the Messiah, that faithful, F-A-T-E, that faithful dilemma is resolved. Those who enter into Christ being here for us no longer have to live under a continuous, low-lying black cloud. A new power is in operation, the spirit of life in Christ. Like strong wind has magnificently cleared the air, freeing you from a time of brutal tyranny at the hands of sin and death. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Galatians 5:24.
Those who belong to Christ Jesus have nailed the passions and desires of their sinful nature to his cross and crucified them there.
Mm-hmm. What does
yep.
that mean to
the
you?
The buck stopped with him. We gotta be penitent, and whenever we find ourselves facing our passions and desires of our sinful nature,
mm-hmm.
we need to look towards him and the cross and ask the Holy Spirit to guide us so that we can nail them to his cross.
Okay, and so where is the Holy Spirit?
Where it's everywhere that there is creation, the Holy Spirit is there. Within us, within everything.
Okay, that's what I wanted to hear, within us. I'm going
okay.
to read 23 through 24. Legalism is helpless in bringing this about. It only gets in the way. Among those who belong to Christ, everything connected with getting our own way and mindlessly responding to what everyone else calls necessity is killed off for good, crucified. All right? Legalism, what is that? What is legalism?
Following the law.
Amen. The law of Moses, right?
Well, yes, and law in general. spoke with this class.
The law of Moses. Did God not give Moses, God wrote the laws on the tablets and gave the tablets to Moses. So why do they call it Moses' law instead of God's law?
It is
Moses
God's law.
Moses write it.
But it was given to Moses
right.
to give to Israel.
Yeah.
Exactly. So we look at it, and they even call it the Mosaic Law.
Mm-hmm.
This is the law that was given by God through Moses to the people. And it was the law that was legal, was in effect, was binding and instructive and, you know, showing us the way until Jesus came.
Amen.
And when Jesus came, they said, we're no longer under the law. We're no longer under legalism. Now what? We are what? What are we under
we
now?
Are bound.
The covenant.
We're under the new, the Christ covenant.
What is that?
That Jesus Christ, our Messiah.
Oh,
we're under grace now. I'm answering the question. We're no longer under the Mosaic law. Now we're under grace.
Yes.
And what is grace?
Unmerited favor.
There you go. So it's not about the law that was, you know, thou shalt not do this and that and that and this. We're not under that anymore.
Right.
Now we're under grace because Jesus Christ came on the cross. He took away all of our sins, past, present, and future. All right? So we are not under that legalism anymore. It doesn't hurt to know what those commandments are. All right? How many commandments are there? I know. How many commandments are there, approximately?
Is it 10 or 12?
It's more than that.
Really?
Well, I would say 10 at first, but then the Mosaic, then Moses, God told Moses a whole bunch of other stuff. Like in the book of Leviticus and Deuteronomy.
Can we get a number? Something like,
Yeah, I'd say over 100.
Okay, something like 630.
Commandments?
Something like 630, yes.
Whoa.
Yes.
Yeah.
But he didn't want us to
try to
remember
all of
that. He didn't want us to try and remember all of that. I mean, we could barely abide by the 10 that we do know of. So he did a synopsis and all those in the 10 commandments. But when Jesus came, he said these are the two greatest commandments, which is what?
Love the Lord thy God with all your heart, your might, and soul, and love
that's
your neighbor
the old one. No, that's the old, that's the Mosaic one.
Love your neighbor and you.
There you go. Love your neighbor as you love yourself.
Yes.
Right, and if you do
that. That's one. What's the second? You said there were two. What's the second?
Yeah, to love your neighbor as you love yourself and to do unto others as you have others do unto you.
Oh.
If I'm not mistaken.
Okay.
All right?
You're not mistaken.
So, of course. No. But we know that first part that you were saying, which was to love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and spirit, that doesn't go. That doesn't fade out. That doesn't stop. All right? We always are to put God first in everything that we do to give him that respect, that reverence, that awe. He's always first. But when Jesus came, that's what he said. If we do those things, we love our neighbor as we love ourselves. We're going to do the right thing. We're not going to hurt them. We're not going to lie, steal, cheat, talk about them, right?
Mm-hmm.
Right.
But the only thing, too, is that some people don't love themselves. So when they don't love themselves, Lord, have mercy on those that are around them.
Yeah.
All right? But that's the last two commandments when Jesus came that he added to the 10. And again, we are not to be under legalism, because now with the covenant of Jesus Christ, his shed blood, his broken, well, his body was not broken, but they say broken body. He didn't get his knees broken like the other thieves got, because he was dead by the time they got to him, all right? So his body was not broken like that. But when we have communion or whatever, they say about the bread to break it as his body was broken, but his body wasn't broken like that. But he came and gave his life for us. So now that he's done that, as I said before, we are under grace. He came to die for us. He came to die to save us.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Okay, so let's go on to... I read all of that, right? We are separated from the dominion of sin by Christ's death, and we are free from its domination by the power of the Spirit. Let's go on to part 7. Some attacks against this doctrine, and this is a word that I hadn't seen it until I previewed the lesson. Pelagianism, P-E-L-A-G-I-A-N-I-S-M, Pelagianism. Pelagius, a monk from Britain who preached in Rome around A.D. 400, believed that since God would not command anything that was not possible, and that since he has commanded men to be holy, everyone therefore can live a life that is free from sin. He taught that man was created neutral, neither sinful nor holy, and with the capacity and will to choose freely, either to sin or to do good. Everyone is born in the same condition as Adam before the fall, only now has before, wait, everyone is born in the same condition as Adam before the fall, only now man has before him Adam's bad example. But Adam in no way transmitted a sin nature or the guilt of his sin to his posterity. What does that mean?
Posterity to himself?
Mm-hmm. No.
Adam in no way transmitted a sin nature
or the guilt of his sin to his followers, those that came after him.
So
man has a will... that, which is what this chapter is saying, that it's inherited. It came from Adam and Eve, and it keeps going on and on and on. So this is saying, but Adam in no way transmitted a sin and nature or the guilt of his sin to his posterity, to us.
Mm-hmm.
Man has a will that is free, and sin comes from separate acts of a man's will. What does that mean?
That means that we, when we act sinfully, it's our decision to do so.
Mm.
Yeah. So you can't blame it on anybody else.
Right.
Got to take ownership for it.
We have free will.
That's right.
We have free will. We're not robots. We're not, you know, all at the same way, at the same time, in the same instance. Under same situations or circumstances. We have free will. We can choose to do the right thing, or we can choose to do the wrong thing. God is our guide, but we don't have to follow him. We don't have to follow him. We ought to, all right, but he's given us free will so that if you choose not to, you don't have to. You won't get to heaven. You won't have to
heaven. Yeah, that's for sure.
But you can do what you want to do, you know?
Mm-hmm.
What you want to do. So, but Adam in no way transmitted a sin nature or the guilt of his sin to his posterity. Man has a will that is free.
Mm-hmm.
Do good works and all of his good deeds come from the unassisted capabilities of his human nature. Thus, Pelagianism exaggerates the merit of work and its efficacy in salvation. So this man has said he was around 400 A.D. What is 400 A.D.? When is that?
After
what?
After the death of Christ.
Yeah, but it's like we're in A.D. A.D. is after B.C., before Christ, and we're in A.D.
After.
Right. Uh-huh. So it has another meaning, but Adonai, Dominion, something like that. But it's in our kind of current epoch.
In our century.
No.
I thought it was the Latin Anno Domini or something like that.
Yes, that's what I was saying.
Yeah. That's what she's saying.
AD 400 is not in our century, because a century is how many years, Evangelist?
100.
Evangelist.
I forgot.
I'll take centuries for 100, please.
Okay.
All right. It's 100 years. So 400 AD is not in our century. We're in what century now?
Yikes.
We're in 20th century.
21st. We're in the 21st century.
Right, because it started counting
the 21st century. Yeah, so the 20th century was in the 1900s, and now this is the 2000s.
Also, you go back one?
Yeah,
so
you start counting at zero.
20, even though we're in 20, we go back to 21. Oh.
Right, because remember it started at like zero.
Yes.
Or it started at one, let me say. I don't think it started at zero, but it started at one. And so from B.C., wherever it ended, it picked up at A.D. one. Okay?
Okay.
And it's like a countdown, really, because it went from the highest to the lowest, B.C., one B.C., is before you get to 1 AD, all right?
Uh-huh.
So we're in the 21st century, as quiet as it's kept. So he thought that man was created neutral, neither sinful nor holy. But that's not what the Bible is. We just read that, all right? And so a lot of people didn't believe what he was saying. They didn't agree with him. They said that in the bottom part of this paragraph, thus Pelagianism exaggerates the merit of works and their efficacy in salvation. So Pelagianism stretches the value of works and their trueness in salvation, the efficiency, the efficacy in salvation. B, semi-Pelagianism. Pelagius' teaching was opposed by his contemporary Augustine, who emphasized man's total inability to achieve righteousness and therefore his need for sovereign grace alone. Semi-Pelagianism is a mediating position between Augustinianism, which is strong emphasis on predestination and man's inability. What does that mean?
I don't know.
Strong emphasis on predestination. So
no control. It's all been planned out in advance.
Mm-hmm. Right. It's already been laid out. Planned. You have no control over it.
Okay.
And man's inability. Predestined. All right? And Pelagianism, with its insistence on man's complete ability, which is the opposite of what we just read with Augustinianism, okay? So semi-Pelagians teach that man retains a measure of freedom by which he can cooperate with the grace of God. Man's will has been weakened and his nature affected by the fall, but he is not totally depraved. We talked about depravity before, right, last week?
Yeah.
Right? What is depravity?
Like a reprobate mind.
A wickedness.
Yes.
Yes.
A wickedness that you just don't want to do the right thing. You don't care. You just
want to do what you want to do.
Wicked. Yes. Evil. Yeah. Depraved. Yeah. Doing things, and I
Perverse.
Use the example of Jeffrey Dahmer.
Yeah.
We've known killers. But he was a depraved killer in that he did what he did, okay?
Yeah.
So in regeneration, man chooses God, who then adds his grace. And we talk about God.
Mm-hmm.
Semi-Pelagianism is the teaching of the Roman Catholic Church as well as some Protestant groups. Original sin is eliminated in water baptism. So
they don't do water baptism? They do
No, it's saying original sin is wiped out in water baptism. So they say when you get baptized, your sins, you're free from your sins, right? You get a new start.
Yes.
So you go in the water and some go in a dry devil and come out a wet devil.
That's true.
Right? But
they
the
come
point,
the same way they went in.
Right. The point, well, they come out wet. But the point of being baptized is what? What's the point in getting baptized?
To wash away your sins. To start anew.
To be reborn.
I was saying, once you go down in the water, your sins go down with you. But when you come back up, you're supposed to come up a new creature.
Exactly. Exactly. With a chance for a new way of living.
Yes.
And really, it's an outward sign to those that are observing you or hear about you that you now become a new creature, all right? Changing your evil ways, your not so nice ways.
And that's
right?
one
that's
of
what
the
that's what the
yeah that was one of the things that Christ did for us to follow Him, like even though He had no sins. So, but in order for us to follow, you know, His ways, He did the baptism so that we would know that once you go down in the water, your sins go down with you. But when you come out, you're supposed to be a new creature.
Right. You should change your way of living once you come up out of that water. Right?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Thank you. We're going to do one more. It's 7:54. Socinianism. Socinianism.
Socinianism. I love you pronounce these words.
Okay. This movement, named after Lelio Socinus, Socinus, born in 1525, died in 1562, and his nephew Faustus, 1539 through 1604, was the forerunner of Unitarianism. Teachings include a denial of the deity of Christ, a denial of predestination, original sin, total inability, and penal substitution. Wow.
What does that mean?
Okay, so teachings which include a denial of the deity of Christ, we know what that means, right?
That they don't believe in Christ.
That Jesus Christ is God in the flesh.
Right. Yeah. Right. And a lot of people don't. They say, oh, you know, he's the Son of God. And what teaching did you get, I'm asking both of you, is we know about the triune God, right? God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost or Holy Spirit, right?
Yeah.
So
yeah.
All of these three are one.
Yes.
Right? So Christ
yes.
is a part of God. God is in Christ is in God and God is in Christ.
Right.
Okay? So they deny these Unitarian, well, this Socinianism denies, except that
mm-hmm.
Christ is God, the deity
okay.
of God. He's God and man.
Yes.
All right?
Mm-hmm.
A denial of predestination, which is what we just read in semi-Pelagianism, that there is no predestination in this person. You're not ahead of time told or looked at that this is what you're going to do. There's no predestination. It's not planned out for you. All right?
Mm-hmm.
That they believe.
Mm-hmm.
And original sin. They don't believe in the Adam and Eve passing it down generation upon generation. They don't believe in total inability that we can do things that predestine man's inability, that we can do things the right way. Right?
Yes.
They don't believe that we can do the right thing, that we have no ability to do the right thing. You have inability to do the right thing. And penal substitution, I believe this is talking about when Jesus was crucified on the cross and his substitutionary death for us. All right?
Mm-hmm.
Penal substitution. They don't believe in that.
Wow.
They don't believe in that. This is Socinianism.
Yeah.
And we're going to end it there. It's like 7:58. Any questions about the lesson? Any comments? Any?
No, the lesson was awesome.
Oh, God bless you.
Awesome. It's awesome.
Especially I learned the
posterity.
What
happened?
The word
I don't understand
posterity.
Uh-huh.
Didn't know what that word meant, so now I do. It
posterity.
Means
right.
Yes.
What does it mean?
Us.
What does it mean?
Us.
What happened?
But Adam is no way transmitted to sin nature or the guilt of his sin to his.
What does posterity mean?
Us.
Oh, okay. That's what I thought you said. Yes, future generations.
Right.
His seed. His the. Off out of him being the progenitor of the race,
right.
The human race.
Amen.
All right?
Mm-hmm.
So, just for clarity, I want us for homework to look at penal substitution, P-E-N-A-L substitution, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Only if
that's
you pronounce it properly. It's not penial substitution.
What is it?
Penal.
Okay.
Spell it.
P-E-N-A-L.
P-E-N-A-L.
The last word. P-E-N-A-L.
Yes. Don't spell it P-E-N-I-L-E. That's not good.
Evangelist.
Yes?
It's the last two words of the paragraph that I just read. C.
Oh, okay.
You see it?
Yes.
Right, penal substitution.
Okay.
All right?
So you want to look that up?
Yes. What does it mean?
What does it
and
mean?
And I'm saying that it means that Jesus Christ died for us as a substitute for us. All right?
Okay.
So we're ending up in part D, and I'm going to ask the evangelist to take us out.
Okay. Ooh, precious and heavenly Father, once again we come to you as humbly as we know how to give you the glory, the honor, and the praise, and to thank you for this lesson tonight, Lord God. I learned some words that I never heard before, but Lord, thank you for giving me clarity and opening up my mind to understand what these words mean in your in this lesson tonight, Lord God. I thank you for that. We thank you for all who are here today, tonight, and we thank you for our Lady Nadine. We pray that she is resting and healing well, and that we will hear from her soon, Lord God. We ask that you heal her from the crown of her head to the soles of her feet. Let your will be done, not our will, but your will be done, because we know that you are the healer, Lord God. We ask that you touch each and every one of us here tonight, our families, our finances, our life, and just allow your Holy Spirit to do what you sent it down into our bodies to do, Lord God, to guide us in the way that you would have us to go. We thank you for life. We thank you for strength. We thank you for healing. We thank you for our loved ones. We thank you for our neighbors. We thank you for our enemies, Lord God. We just give you the glory, the honor, and the praise, and we love you, Father. And we know that you, without you, we are nothing. With you, we are everything. And Lord God,
hallelujah,
we thank you for that. We thank you for this day. We thank you for watching over us tonight as we sleep, and to wake us up the next morning. In your precious name, in Jesus' precious name, amen, amen, and amen. To God be
thank you
glory.
For that wonderful prayer that you have. Love you all. Thank you for joining us tonight. And
love
be
you
blessed.
Too.
Stay
God
safe.
Bless.
You too. Shalom.
Shalom.
Hugs and kisses.
Hugs
okay.
and kisses.
That too. Hugs and kisses.
Thank you. Love you.
Love you. Good night.